Would you open your Bibles? Hebrews 11:1, you probably know this verse. It says this, well, in the King James, I memorized all my scripture back in the day in the King James. Some of you probably did too. Now, faith is the substance, or the confidence of things that we hope for, the evidence or the assurance of things we do not see. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this privilege of being in your house. Thank you for this spiritual family, different people from different walks of life, all seeking your face together. And we pray that we would be a people that grow in faith and trust in you, Lord, with each passing day. And so, Lord, as we always pray, we pray for spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear everything you want to say to our hearts this morning through the power of your Holy Spirit. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, saying, amen. So over the last few weeks, we have been talking about Christian worldview, which is radically, diametrically opposed to this world. You may remember that the Bible defines or understands the world as the systems of men and women that are hostile to God. If you're wondering about, you know, is this thing okay, or I don't know, understand this, how does this line up with my Christian faith? Ask yourself this, is it hostile to God? Is it lost in sin, ruined and depraved? This can take many, many forms. We said a few weeks ago, I heard of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. There those guys are. They actually encourage, remember what Jesus said to the woman taken in adultery? He said, go and sin no more. Their motto is go and sin some more. That's the world. Or it could be those people who want the kingdom without what? Without the king. Big problem. The way we handle our seniors is an issue, right? As if aging were a problem to be solved, right? And that just takes away dignity from our society's seniors. All of these different examples, manifestations of the systems of men and women, right, who want the kingdom without the king, that are clearly hostile to God, lost in sin, ruined and depraved. And you'll remember last week I asked this question, and this is sort of a follow-up to that, or an attempt to follow up on that. Can you stay present in the partial in your life? Can you completely love without complete understanding? That's an issue of faith, isn't it? The world says no, but our Christian faith says yes, actually we can, right? But it assumes something, it presupposes something. If we can stay present in the partial, it assumes faith, doesn't it? Bottom line, faith. Last week we said we can stay present in the partial because one of the names of God is Yahweh, right? The great I am, the perfect present one. We've been studying this in the book of Exodus in our adult ed time before service. And each Christmas time we're reminded that one of Jesus' names is Emmanuel, meaning God with us, forever with us. And so, again, presupposes faith. And let's begin with a little game. You like games? I don't like games. Well, we're playing a game. So I want to show you three close-up macro partial images. You tell me what you believe them to be. Little shout out to a pastor in my family's church in Michigan, Pastor Tim Broyles, who gave me this idea. So image one, Marie. What is that? Anyone? You can participate.
Flower.
Okay. What kind? You don't know? No one wants to hazard a guess? It's a tie-dye. Gary's revealing more of himself. People always out themselves. Let it be, let it be. Yeah, okay, got it, Gary, that's all right. Anybody, what kind of flower? This is local stuff. Anyone? Dandelion? What percentage would you give me, Wayne, on betting that that's true? We don't bet in this church. I got no money. Oh yeah, you're retired. Okay, it is a bitterroot flower. It's a flower, yeah. All right, Marie, number two, please. What's that? A TV? An eyeball? What kind of eyeball? A deer? Would you bet the family farm on that? Do you really believe it's a deer? And I'm not betting nothing. Josh is a new business owner. No. It's local. Squirrel? No. Marie? It's a trout eye. Trout eye. All right, one more. Just one more. Marie? Ooh. Mountains? Ooh. Tree? Bark? A moth? What kind of tree bark? Pine tree? What kind of pine tree? Old pine? Anyone? Marie? Ponderosa. Right? How'd you do? How much faith did you have in what your eyes saw? Ooh. How much faith do you have in your own answers? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5:7 that the followers of Jesus, we walk by what? Faith and not by sight. Now, again, last Wednesday, I asked Joan to send out an email. And if you're not on our church email list, you can give me your email if you'd like to be a part of that. We send out prayer requests, information, stuff like that. But here's the question she sent out Wednesday. She said, how would you define faith? And I got a lot of really interesting definitions back to me over the week, some really good ones. Here's a few of them. Lisa said, right, that faith is having complete trust in something or someone. And her dad, Wayne, was pretty similar, distilled it down to absolute trust. Pretty good. Gary said, Mr. Tie-Dye, let it be, said, faith is absolute belief in something you can't see or touch. That's pretty good. Now, Joan, who's watching in Georgia with her daughter and grandkids right now, I like what Joan said. She said this. This was sort of revealing. She said, faith is the invisible glue, that being God, of course, that holds my life together when everything's falling apart. Isn't that a good one? That's a really good one. So thank you. I think all those are very good definitions. Now, Hebrews 11:1, the author here defines faith in the old King James Version as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things we do not yet see. And you know what I found interesting this week is that throughout the Bible, so often faith is paired with hope. They go together, faith, hope, right? Isn't that what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13? And now these three remain or abide, faith, hope, and love. Yes, right. So actually Jack, where's Reverend Jack? There he is. He offered a couple acrostics. You know acrostics? You know, you take the first letter and you fill it in. He said, faith is this. Faith is to fix any incident through hope. Thought, that's pretty good. Oh, hold on to the other one yet. That was even a more poignant one. I looked at a few English translations this week, different ones about Hebrews 11:1, slightly different, but all helpful, I think. The newest edition of the NIV states this, is that it says, where are we? Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for, the assurance of things we do not yet see. Okay, that's good. NRSV said this, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things we do not see. And the CEB, the lesser known translation, says faith is the reality of what we hope for, the proof of what we don't see. I think all of those are pretty helpful in their own way to help us understand the Christian notion of faith. But what I found was this, underneath those translations, a couple Greek words, and I think they're eye-opening, very practical to understand faith. Hupostasis is the Greek word. Okay, who cares? What it means is this. It means to literally stand beneath or underneath, right? It's a foundation, right? You have to have a good foundation to a house, or more significantly, to your life. What are the foundational moorings of your life? If I asked you that today. Here's the deal. If Jesus Christ is not the foundation of your life, guess what? Matthew 7, then you have built your house on a foundation of sand. That's a very, very bad idea. We have builders in here. You don't want me building anything. I'll parse the Greek, but you don't want me making a lean-to. Call Josh, right? You have to have a good foundation. Without a firm foundation, it's going to be really hard for you to be present in the partial in life. And there's a lot of partials. There's a lot of stuff we don't know. It doesn't add up. What's the formula? Something, I'm missing something. That happens all the time, doesn't it? And, you know, that's when your foundation, your faith foundation, is really going to matter. Not only to you, but to your loved ones as well. The best gift you can give anyone, whether it be family member, friends, colleagues, whatever, is an intimate conversational relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the best thing you can give another person. My wife, when we were first married, she knew if I got up in the morning, got my coffee, and didn't have my prayer time, she's like, you didn't pray this morning. You're foul. You go right back in there, and you don't come out until you read your Bible and pray. She used to do this. And I'm fine, you know? Jack boiled it down to a point in an acrostic, because if you don't have that faith foundation, you're going to be in trouble. Faith is family and individuals transcending horrors. He's also a writer, obviously. I thought that's helpful. It's the bedrock belief that Jody shared. There she is. Jody shared this week, emailed me, said, faith is knowing that God will do what's best for us, no matter what. How about that? That's faith. But this also means your faith foundation is resting on the bedrock of God's word, the Bible, right? And time spent in the Bible is always time spent well. How well do you know this book? How well do you know it? Is it part of your everyday life or a regular part of your life? Or is it something you only hear about when you occasionally make it to church? I realized you got to be careful what you say in the Bitterroot, right? That's how rumors go, because, you know, like Bonnie and Miss Brenda aren't here today, and, you know, I was going to make a joke about, you know, they don't drink, but somebody's going to say next week, you missed children's church because you're, you know, no, shouldn't even say anything, right? No, Brenda will be a good sport about everybody, you know, but how well do you know your Bible is the question. I was reminded of an old-fashioned practice. I went back to it. I've got a stack of 3x5s with Bible verses on them. And I found that really helpful. Remember, I know it's old-fashioned. Remember when you memorized things? Memorizing Bible verses is a great idea, because they'll come to you in the partial moments when you need them, I think. Remember, I got busted this week. Not just once, no, but this is just one of them. Remember, you used to memorize dozens and dozens of phone numbers? We all did, right? Now it's like, what is that strange magic? You know, we just keep it on the phone and we don't bother anyone. How is it? I went to Ace, and, you know, they connect your rewards with a phone number, and we set it up with Deb's phone number. And she, you know where I'm going with this. What's your phone number? 406-36, just a minute here. I don't know my wife's phone number. How is it that I can remember my childhood phone number at age 3, Detroit 313-761-1091, but I can't remember my wife's phone number currently? Like, well, maybe you need some marriage counseling. Well, maybe I do. I don't know. I'll talk to Reverend Peterson. But anyway, I got to finish this. How well do you know your Bible? Have you memorized things? Early Christian authors said this consistently. Ignorance of the scriptures is ignorance of Jesus Christ. Really? Mm-hmm. That's what they said. I like what Greg, our elder, had to share this week. He said, faith is knowing and believing that God is real through his word, the Bible, as well as those real life experiences. We talked about this in adult ed, those things that test us and challenge us but cause us to grow in our faith. Paul said in Romans 10:17, faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But as we know, not everybody hears so well. Some of you are somewhat hearing impaired, and the rest of the gentlemen are hearing impaired when their wives talk to them sometimes. Are we even bothering to listen? Kind of like the time. When a televangelist at a megachurch down south was fleecing his sheep, trying to get money out of them, promising them to help them in their need, a young man promptly came up on the stage, told the televangelist to pray for his hearing. televangelist began to pray loudly for the man, started speaking in tongues, and then he grabbed the young man by the shoulder, shook him, clapped his hands over the ears, and said, "You're cured. Thank you, Jesus." Televangelist then turned to the young man and said, "How's your hearing now?" To which the young man replied, "I don't know, Pastor. My court hearing isn't until next week." Are we listening? Are we even paying attention? And so if faith in Jesus and his word is our foundation, then the second part becomes a slam dunk, practically speaking. Debbie Reinhardt had to say this. I thought this was helpful. Faith is believing and trusting in what God says he will do. If God has said he will do something in his word, why are we questioning it? Oh, I don't know. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. No, he will. He will, right? And then we will have assurance and conviction of hope. Greek word, alechos. Again, who cares? Well, it means this. It means proof, evidence, and conviction, right? Those who have, or if you're growing in your faith, strong faith foundation, what's the outcome? You will begin to see and experience evidence that God is faithful. Amen? Those of you who've been Christians for a while, you know this. You'll begin to see and experience that God is good all the time, right? As they say, and all the time, God is great, great, right? So are we growing in that faith foundation? You will, over time, you'll develop spiritual conviction that God can and indeed must be trusted at all times and in all situations in our lives. I love that word conviction. It's really a Latin compound word. It means with victory. Or within victory. Conviction is not simply like, "Oh, I'm in trouble." It's like, "Nope, this is what's true. How do I adjust myself to the truth of God?" Right? When your life begins to look like Christian author Eugene Peterson said, a long obedience in the same direction, you will have historic and consistent proof that God is without a shadow of a doubt who and what he says he is. Right? How about that old hymn of the faith? We've sang it here before. How firm a what? Foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. Ooh, that's good. Then you'll be able to say, like Marie said this week, faith is simply and wholly following Jesus with your life. It's really simple, people. But there are many people in this fallen world, this world system that is hostile to God, lost in sin, ruined and depraved, who not only have no faith in Jesus, the Bible, but are in open hostility to God's people as well. You've experienced this, right? People who don't like Christians. They find out you're one. Ooh, here we go. Here we go. Why are we surprised by that? "Well, they don't like me. I'm a Christian." How did they? They were openly hostile to Jesus. Why do you think you get a hall pass, right? If they did that to Jesus? "Well, it's not fun." Well, sometimes it's not, right? But understand this. God always gets the last laugh, right? The good news is that as you align yourself with the purposes and plans of God, sometimes you get to be in on the joke too, right? Kind of like the time. An atheist was walking through the woods. He was so arrogant as a man, he never missed the opportunity to mock the faith of Christians in his local area, saying they were blind and totally ignorant. When all of a sudden he heard a loud crash, and much to his horror, he saw a massive grizzly bear charging at him. Well, the old atheist ran for his life, but the bear kept gaining on him, and unfortunately he tripped over a tree root, and in an instant the bear was towering over him. And in his desperation, he said this. He said, "Oh God, please save me." Remember the old saying, there are no atheists in foxholes? Or when a grizzly bear is over you, I bet you'll be praying to Jesus, right? "Oh God, please save me." And then all of a sudden, it was as if the bear and all creation came to an absolute standstill. The man heard the voice of the Lord saying, "All your life you have denied my existence and have relentlessly persecuted my followers. You've told everyone that my creation was a cosmic accident, and only now you call out to me? Do you want to be a Christian now?" And the atheist, ever proud, said, "Well, I suppose if I became if I became a Christian, I'd be a hypocrite. So how about this, Lord? Will you make the grizzly bear a Christian?" "Very well," said the Lord. And then all of a sudden, all of creation began to stir again. And the bear slowly put his paw down, looked gently at the man, and even it looked kind of like he was smiling at him. Then the bear brought both of his massive paws together, closed his eyes, and prayed, "Lord, I give you thanks for this food that I'm about to eat. In Jesus' name, amen." Yeah. Don't tell me the Lord doesn't work in mysterious ways. Although it's more true that God is intensely practical, right? You know, the good news is everybody can have a place in God's choir, even repentant atheists and maybe even grizzly bears. I don't know. So have faith. Choose faith in your life again and again and again. And when you sometimes lose it or duff it, choose faith again and again. Get up and choose it. As all of you reminded me this week, faith can be defined in any number of really good and helpful ways, but the author of Hebrews reminds us this. He said, faith is the bedrock foundation of the things that we hope for. It's the conviction and proof positive of things that we do not yet see. But someone might say, well, how would you define faith, Jim? Right? Now, to quote one of my spiritual mentors, Reverend Bill Donahue, I've quoted him a few times, he actually said this once, and I can say it true, that it's true as well. He said, faith is knowing that your congregation will help you write the Sunday sermon. I don't think you guys realize, but I steal stuff, I appropriate, thank you, Wayne, stuff from you all the time, shamelessly. So thank you for your definitions on faith. And thanks, Pastor Tim, if you're watching, for the insight on this. So let's have faith in Jesus. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, thank you so much for this family of faith that we get to be a part of and that we get to seek your face together, live life together in its ups and downs, and learning to be present even in those times of partial. Thank you that we can completely love without complete understanding, but we've got to have faith and trust in you. May faith be our bedrock foundation. May we grow in our faith, and may you be honored and glorified in all of this and more. In Jesus' name we pray, saying, amen.